Amen. Luke chapter 1, I'm going to draw a few thoughts from this song, really, that we have just had read for us. But in verses 46 and 47, we have this song really summed up. We read there, verses 46 and 47, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour." Now, Christmas brings to your mind many, many things. But one thing that we are all familiar with in terms of Christmas time is traditions. We all have different Christmas traditions. I'm sure if I was to ask you tonight about some of your own family traditions, you would all have them. Maybe some of you have a big family get-together on Christmas Eve. All the extended family come together. I know my family, the Patterson family, that's what they do every year before Christmas. We all get together, about 50, 60, 70 in a wee house, and we just pack in, and we all have that time together. Maybe some of you have a tradition of Christmas jumpers. Maybe some of you can think of your grandmother or your aunt, maybe, who makes the best Christmas cake. Maybe some of you can think of Mum's turkey, and there's no turkey like Mum's turkey. We all have our own personal traditions. But one tradition that is much more global today is, of course, the tradition of Christmas carols, or singing Christmas carols. All around the world, you're sure to hear some of the carols we have been singing tonight. You'll hear them in churches, different churches, no matter the denomination, the label. We will all undoubtedly sing today at some stage, or in the run-up to Christmas Day, we will all be singing carols like this. Maybe some of the young people here, or some of the boys and girls, you've been at a carol service in school. Undoubtedly, as you've been doing your Christmas shopping, you've heard different carols that we have been singing this evening. And Christmas carols, they actually have their origins in paganism. During the winter time, pagan songs would have been sang, and communities would have come together in a square, a place where they could meet, and they would dance together. Christianity then adopted this practice, and of course they then began to sing Christian songs themed on the birth of Christ. But as I've said already, I want to suggest to you that as we come to Luke chapter 1, we really have the first Christmas carol, don't we? Here we have Mary, and she is, of course, the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is she doing? Well, she is truly singing a song about the coming and the birth of her Savior. Now, at this stage, remember, she is actually expecting. She is carrying the Savior in her womb. And in this portion, what does she do? Well, like all expectant mothers, as they get the news, as the news breaks, well, they find a relative and they tell that relative. And this was no different for Mary. Because as soon as this miraculous seed has been placed into her womb, what happens? She makes a long journey to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Verse 39, we read, "Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country with haste into a city of Judah." And so she comes to the house of her cousin Elizabeth. Now, as soon as she walks in the door, Elizabeth knows what's happened. Elizabeth, her cousin, who of course is a Christian as well, she knows, miraculously she knows, that Mary, her cousin, will give birth to Jesus Christ. Verse 43, "And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" She just knows. She perhaps has that maternal, that motherly instinct. Remember Elizabeth as well. She is carrying John the Baptist at this stage in her womb, so there's this instinct here. But Elizabeth, she just knows that Mary is going to give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as they have this get together, really verses 46 through to verse 55, you then find Mary bursting forth into one spontaneous hymn of praise, or as we would say today, one spontaneous Christmas carol. And in this first Christmas carol, really it's sum and substance, it's spirit, it's encapsulated in verse 46. "My soul doth magnify the Lord," and also verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And here she is, and she's carrying Christ. And what does she do? She magnifies Christ. And she is doing this with her lips. She publicly praises. she spontaneously burst forth in one song of praise for her Savior. And tonight we are not merely to celebrate the season of Christmas, but the Savior of Christmas. His coming into the world, as Matthew 1:21 tells us, to save his people from their sins. It's good to remember the birth of Christ at this time of year. And that is one of the main facets of Christmas time. The name Christmas in Latin, and actually it's Christ Mass, it's Christ sent forth. And even in the name of Christmas, you have the coming of Christ into this world. Why? To save us. And I wonder tonight, can you sing like Mary this song of Jesus Christ setting your soul free? Yes, we have the externals of the festive season. And as I told you this morning, there's nothing wrong with them. We have Martin Luther to thank for many of them, Christmas trees and so on. It's not wrong, my friend. But oh, that we would not miss Jesus Christ at Christmas. And so just for a few moments, I want to think about this first Christmas carol as we draw our meeting to a close tonight. Two thoughts, really. The first thought is the timing of this carol, when she sang, the timing of this carol, when she sang, verse 34 tells us, "Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now here's Mary, and she's singing this song of praise to the Lord. She has found out that she was just expecting. And naturally, this is a cause for celebration. And you perhaps could look at it in the natural point of view. Here's Mary, she is expecting, and yet you couldn't blame her then for bursting forth in praise. But I want to suggest to you that Mary, as she found out she was expecting Christ, it would not have been a happy time for her. It rather would have been a very hard time for her. Remember the circumstances to her expecting. She is going to give birth to that which is supernatural. At this time, Mary, she has left Nazareth, her home, to come and see her cousin Elizabeth. She wants to share the good news, and rightly so. But this portion tells us that she returns to Nazareth 3 months later. So she's with child approximately 3 to 4 months, right up until the 9 months, when she is there in Nazareth. Remember, she is expecting out of wedlock. She is not married to Joseph at this time. She is espoused to him, and really that has the idea of being engaged. So you imagine society what they would say as it becomes more and more obvious that Mary is expecting. And society, Nazareth, they know that Joseph and Mary as of yet are not married. There would have been the frowns, especially in Bible times. This would have been an anathema. It's hard to understand it today, but this would have been an anathema. And yet here's Mary. It's a very, very hard time for her socially. This birth also would have been very hard on her financially. Mary at this time, Bible commentators believe she's between 14 and 16 years old. And also Joseph, well, he was a carpenter. He wouldn't have had much money. And so this birth, it would have actually have been very, very difficult. It couldn't have come at a worse time, as we would say today. And yet in spite of the hardships, in spite of the circumstances, we find here in these verses, verse 46 and 47, as she realizes she's not merely carrying her natural son, but her Savior, she bursts forth, lifting her eyes above those circumstances, magnifying and exalting Jesus Christ. And like Mary tonight, happiness may come from circumstance, but true joy comes from Christ. It comes from the joy of knowing Christ as your Savior. And at this time of year, Christmas time, do you know Christ as your Savior? Now, there are things that will bring you temporal happiness at this time, and it's not wrong. Spending time with family, it's good. Exchanging of gifts, and as we have said, Martin Luther believed in it, and I believe in it as well. These things will bring temporal happiness. But I want to suggest to you that which brings eternal happiness is found in that which is eternal. I ask you, what will make you happy come the 31st of December? What will make you really truly joyful come the first of the next year? Truly joyful, it will be in Jesus Christ. Here's Mary and her circumstances. They are not favorable. They are hard for her financially. They are hard for her socially. And there are times when Christmas brings its financial difficulties and its social difficulties. And you might ask the question tonight, how can I know true joy? It's like Mary. Joy in salvation. Joy in God, your Savior. The Psalms in Psalm 27. David was able in a time of trouble to rejoice in the Lord. We read there Psalm 27 verses 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And he then speaks out there in verse 6 about offering in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises to the Lord. He describes Christ here as his rock. And Christ as his pavilion. In other words, that which is steady, that which is stable, that which is not changing. And he speaks here of singing praises to the Lord. But it was a time of trouble. It was a time when all was pressing in hard. And yet here's David, and at a time of great trouble and difficulty, he was able to offer sacrifices of praise to the Lord. Why? Because Christ was his rock. That Christ was his Savior. Whilst there are temporal happiness to be found in the festivities of Christmas, true joy is found in the forgiveness of Christ. Tonight, can you say that? Can you not merely sing, as you have already sang, about Christ, the one who was the song of the angels, born to give us second birth? We have sang that together. That's why Christ came. Can you sing that tonight from your heart? Isaac Watts was an ill child. As he grew up, he never really got any better. He became a minister, but his health deteriorated to such a degree that he couldn't serve his congregation any longer. He thought that the only thing that he could really do was to write them letters. And so, he did this. But in 1748, when his health finally broke, he had written over 600 hymns, and one of them is well known, and we sing it at Christmas time. We have sang it already. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. He knows he's going to pass away. That's when he wrote this hymn. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. That gave him, above all of his trials and difficulties, that gave him tremendous joy. So here was the timing of this carol, when she sang. Secondly and lastly, I want you to think about the theme of this carol, what she sang. The theme of this carol, what she sang. Mary may have been a young handmaiden, as she describes herself in this portion. But scripturally, Mary was no dozer. Mary knew her Old Testament. Now, Mary probably wouldn't have even been able to afford an Old Testament at this time. She probably couldn't. As I've said, she was a young lady. She was a handmaiden, age 14 to 16. Very poor individual indeed. And yet as you read Luke chapter 1, you will discover that there are 15 allusions to the Old Testament. And I suggest to you that she knows God. She knows his character. And she knows exactly the gravity of this person that she is carrying. She knows that this is not merely just an infant child. This is God manifest in flesh. She knows that this is God himself in her womb. And in this hymn, she sang of the liberty of Jesus Christ. She said in verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Mary was not sinless. Mary had her problems. Mary had her imperfections like us all. Rome, however, would tell us that Mary was sinless. And In 1854, Pope Pius IX, he declared the teaching of the Immaculate Conception, teaching, and I quote, "From the first moment of her conception, Mary was by singular grace of the Almighty kept free from the stain of original sin." Yet here she states that God was her Savior. She states that God was her Savior. Why? Because she was a sinner in need of a Savior. If she was not a sinner, then she did not need to be saved. She was saved by God's grace in Christ. And as she takes up this hymn, this is where she starts. Salvation. Salvation. I wonder tonight, can you sing this evening? Can you sing of the liberty of Jesus Christ, the song of the soul set free? So she sang of the liberty of Christ. She also sang of Christ's power or Christ's potency. In verse 49, we read, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things." The word mighty here, it's dynamite. And how does she see Christ, this Christ that she is carrying in her womb? Mighty, strong, potent, like dynamite. She is carrying the very dynamite of heaven. It's really a reference here to the fact that it was a miracle that she was carrying. And in verse 52, this dynamic mighty one, he is then spoken of as putting down the mighty. And so, what is it that she sings then, not only of Christ and his liberty that he has given to her, but of his potency? The fact that this one was powerful, even though he wasn't yet born. Do we not lose sight of this sometime at Christmas? We think about the babe of Bethlehem, and rightly so. And yet we lose sight of his power. Sometimes society, it portrays Christ as a weak, naive babe lying in a manger. And yet this same one, Mary states herself in this song, he would put down the mighty. Referring to the fact that he will one day put all of his enemies to shame. And tonight at Christmas time, don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the fact that the same babe who came and was born in Bethlehem is the mighty one, is the one who is strong. You perhaps look out into 2020, and there are problems there. There are things that you worry about. And yet you can say that he that is mighty, he that is the dynamite, hath done to me great things. You can look at your things that you worry about, and you can say, like Mary, he will put these things down. In Matthew chapter 28, as this same babe who was born in Bethlehem, as he then ascended into heaven, what did he say to his disciples? All power is given unto me in what? In heaven and in earth. All power was given to the babe of Bethlehem. Don't lose sight of that. She also sang of the mercy of Christ. Verse 50. His mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Verse 51 speaks of him scattering those who are proud. Really speaks of his judgment. But here, before she gets to the judgment, Mary thinks about the mercy of Christ in her womb. She calls him one who is merciful, and the fact that this didn't change from generation to generation. And so she thinks about those times when she perhaps has failed her Savior. Thinks about those times when she has wronged her Savior, when she has let him down. Thinks about those times even in the future when she knows she's not quite going to be the mother that she desires to be. And in the next chapter, you read of an incident of that like this, where she loses her boy as she goes to the temple. And as parents, if you haven't been there yet, then you will be. Well, when you lose your children, when you go shopping and you lose them, you feel guilty. And here's Mary, and yet she thinks of Christ as merciful. Merciful. And tonight, remember that. Christ is merciful. If you're outside of Christ, if you're outside of him, then he shows you mercy. But even to you as a Christian, there are times when God, he could come and he could chastise you. And yet he doesn't. He's merciful. He is merciful from generation to generation. Lastly, she sang of the fidelity of Christ, really his faithfulness. Verses 53 and 54. He filled the hungry with good things. The rich he hath sent away empty. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And here she speaks of him opening up Israel. Really has the idea of holding up that which is falling. And perhaps Mary, as she knows her Old Testament well, maybe she's thinking about times when the people of God fell. Perhaps the children of Israel she's thinking of here, as they went round the wilderness for 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief. And the book of Hebrews tells us that the generation that went through the wilderness, they perished in unbelief, but they didn't altogether perish. And here she's thinking about those times when God could have cast off his people. but he preserved them. He held them up when they were in danger of falling. Maybe perhaps the time of the captivity of Babylon, or the captivity during the Assyrian Empire as well. And she knows she has her own worries. She has her own fears. She looks out into the future. She knows of these societal problems, these financial problems. And as she's carrying the baby Jesus in her womb, she thinks of the one who would hold her up when she would be in danger of falling, when she would go back to Nazareth and face the scorn and face the onslaught of society. And she thinks about her child as one who would hold her up. She's the mother, and she would physically do this as he grew up, and yet Christ would hold her up in times of difficulty. Again, at this time of year, yes, it's good to sing of the one who has saved. But tonight in Christ, you can sing of the one who helps you, the one who holds you up. Never lose sight of that. As you look into 2020, and you perhaps see those circumstances, and you can see that my feet might slip there. I look at this, and I just don't know how I'm going to get through it. Like Mary, she sang this first Christmas carol. Cast your mind to the one who says he will hold you up. A Puritan, he sat down to a very, very small Christmas dinner. In actual fact, it was just bread and water. And as he came and as he looked at this bread and water, he bowed his head in prayer. And he said this, "All this and Jesus Christ too. All this and Jesus Christ too." I suggest one of us will have much more on our plates in a few days. And yet he looked at this and he said, all of this, and Christ too. And I believe that this is where Mary is. Here is Mary, singing of his majesty, his fidelity, his liberty, his potency, in this first Christmas carol. And may the Lord give you grace to be like Mary. Magnify the Lord, and rejoice in God your Savior. May the Lord bless these few thoughts to your hearts and lives this evening.